Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Mark Finnan. Each week, we visit with authors of all kinds, and sometimes editors, teachers, or publishers who have regional or local connections. We hope to find out a little about them, what prompts them to write, give them an opportunity to read some of their work for us. And we're very pleased to have Mark Finnan with us today. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Mark Finnan is the author of Oak Island Secrets, The Sinclair Saga, The First Nova Scotian, and The Boy Who Sailed to the Stars. His plays include Once Upon Eternity, performed at the Dublin Theatre Festival, Way to Go, The Corktown Man, The Ballad of Darcy McGee, and Without the Shedding of Blood, which was performed very successfully at Lang Pioneer Village, as was Words from the Wilderness. Other plays, The Master and Demetrius, The Innkeeper's Story, have been performed in various theatres. Mark also wrote the TV documentaries The Curse of Oak Island, shown on A&E Television, and The Sword and the Grail on History Television. So, Mark, you've done so many things that I haven't covered the half of them. Tell us about your youth and your acting career in Ireland and England. Did you come to Canada as an actor or a writer or just an adventurer?
I came to Canada as a result of an article I'd written for Rodale Press. So I guess I came here as a writer, primarily. And Rodale Press are probably one of the largest publishers of wellness magazines and books in the world. And I'd been writing some articles for them while I was living in Ireland. So as a result of that, I got a job offer here to set up a what became known as Shelter Valley Organics.
Oh, I see.
It used to be Co-work.
Yes, yes.
And I was involved in that for about 10 years.
What about that acting career? Didn't keep you in Europe?
No, or it didn't keep me in flows either. But that started in Ireland. It's amazing when I look back and I see how the influence of some of the childhood experiences lead one to a career path. And I was fortunate in being exposed to, I suppose you could call it summer theater. Every summer we would go either to the country, to my grandmother's place, or to the sea resort. And usually at the sea resort in the summer, there would be traveling shows.
Yes.
They were called road shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a mix of a variety, dancing, melodrama, and so forth. And watching these over a period of years, I just got hooked on the notion of being on the stage. Mm-hmm. And that got sort of processed even further during my school years, when I was very fortunate to have a really marvelous English lit teacher. He really opened up Shakespeare for us, at least for me.
Mm.
He did a marvelous thing, I thought. He would have us come up and read some of Shakespeare, and I found that I had a natural affinity in doing this, but also then he would get us to explain what we thought Shakespeare meant. And I thought, and looking back, this was really a very rare thing to do. You would usually be told what this meant or so forth. But he was encouraging us to think into the layers of Shakespeare's thought and writing.
Mm-hmm.
And that really got to me and made me realize that it wasn't just a question of getting up on a stage, but it was a question really of learning about a lot of things, psychology and philosophy. And so Shakespeare really had a big, big influence on me in choosing to go work in the theater.
Yeah, well, good influence.
Of course, there were Irish writers as well, and Yeats and Shaw and many
others. Yes, of course. So you've written numerous plays on a range of topics. So how did you come to write them?
Well, usually it would be something that catches my interest or attention in some way. I was always very interested in politics. Growing up in Ireland, it was kind of a natural thing, or religion. It was one of the two things. Or sexual activity, which the combination of all three led me to realize there was a whole rich, there was a vein here that could be worked. So that really got me into writing some of my early plays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we tend to think of writers, particularly novelists and poets, as solitary people working away on their own until a finished product emerges. But is this the same for playwrights, or is the creative process more collaborative?
Well, starting off, it's very much the same. Whether one is, at least was for me, and is for me, whether one is doing a play or an article or something else. Of course, with a play and with acting, then, you know, you do have to have the interaction in working with other people. It becomes a different process at that point,
yes.
You know, rather than just a solitary writer sitting at his or her desk. But it all begins just with you and the page.
And a few characters,
of course.
Okay, how about reading to us from one of your plays?
Okay, there's Without the Shedding of Blood, which I probably should set this up. This is a play that's set during the War of 1812 here. And actually it has a local connection. And it's about, the play is primarily about the fate of a Quaker couple during the War of 1812. Perhaps some of your listeners may not know that during the War of 1812, those who resisted fighting in the war, and there were quite a number of people, but primarily Quakers, but there were others as well, because they had a peace principle, what was called a peace principle. And going back into the 1700s to the time of King George III, I think, they had been assured they would not have to fight in England's wars. And that they were guaranteed, many of the Quakers who came in to Prince Edward County, Adolphus Town, a big settlement there, and later into York and Pickering, were assured by Simcoe, Governor Simcoe, they would not have to fight. But that all changed, of course, when war came, and with tragic effects. So I've written this play about them, and I've cut out a scene here, which involves a young Quaker woman who has lost her husband, because the military would come along, and especially those who were, the men who were refusing to fight, they would be taken by the military. Sometimes their farm implements, their animals were taken, food was taken. Mm-hmm. And the women didn't know if these men were ever coming back again. And this was the situation for Emma Barclay. And she's desperate to find her husband, and he's gone for 2 weeks from their farm in Haldimand Township. And she, after 2 weeks, sets off in search of him on the road to York, which was present-day Toronto. Emma enters early. She's wearing a heavy shawl, carries a cloth bag, and she comes to the center of a stage, which is a roadside with just a flat tree stump in the center. "Which way should I go now? Oh, if only I knew. I dare not lose much more time going the wrong way. It's already been over 2 weeks since they took Jonathan away. Lord, please help me know which way I should go." And she sits down on the stump, closes her eyes, as if waiting for an answer. Just then, an elderly man appears. He's warmly dressed in heavy coat, top hat, carries a doctor's bag, a lantern. He's about to pass the seated woman when he stops, having noticed something or someone to his right. He raises the lantern, takes a closer look. "Good God, woman, what are you doing here? Don't you know there's a war on, danger is everywhere?" "I'm on my way to York to find my husband, who was taken there by soldiers over 2 weeks ago. I've been on the road for 2 days now, and only the kindness of strangers have sustained me. I must find my husband, but I'm uncertain of which way to go from here." "Oh, you're on the right road. York is just an hour or so further on, but I would not head there at this hour. There are rumors of an American invasion, and there's been a fierce battle down at Queenstown with many men from York killed or badly wounded, so I hear. Hopefully your husband was not among them." He holds up the lantern, looks closer. "You look exhausted, woman. Why don't you come with me to our home, which is just over the bridge beyond? I'm the doctor hereabouts, just returning from a call to an unfortunate neighbor. You're welcome to our hospitality, simple as it is. No doubt my wife will be glad to have some female company and conversation. There's only been the military on the road of late. Here, let me help you up. I can manage. Thank you. I will come by your home shortly after I have rested a little longer here. But, my dear woman, I can help you. Please, sir, I will be along shortly. I will be fine. Very well, then. He gives her the lantern. Take this lantern, then, to light your steps the rest of the way. I know it well enough. The house is just over the bridge. There will be a light in the window, so you can't miss it. We'll expect you shortly. And he exits. Emma closes her eyes. Oh, thank you, Lord. A battle at Queenstown. Men killed and wounded. Oh, Lord, let not such a fate befall Jonathan. And then the music, which was the theme music for the play, Love for Wells, heard in the background.
Hmm.
She exits.
Well, I want to know what happens to her.
That's the idea.
Of course. Okay, thank you, Mark. Now we'll take a short break.